Okay, well, today I was told before I came that you've been dealing with the kingdom, and this is a sort of a year-long theme. So I want to bring one dimension of the kingdom, and that is the kingdom of priests. Amen? I don't know whether you've treated that so far, but the Bible tells us that we are a kingdom of a royal priesthood in the kingdom. So God is requiring a renewed commitment from us to walk in the path that he has chosen and the identity that he has given. I think today we're going to realize that the kingdom is made of priests. Amen? It's made of priests. And if you are in the kingdom, then you are a priest. This is what I want to establish. And this is God's heart, that the priests stand up, rise up, step into their identity and what they're supposed to be doing in this time for his kingdom. In the Old Testament, a priest was someone who approached God on behalf of the people. So when you think of priests, you remember the priests who were the Levites, isn't it? You've all heard of that. There were the tribe of the children who had to just attend to the ministry, the sacrifices, the worship, and intercession on behalf of Israel. They came from the tribe of Levi, and there's a reason why God chose just the Levites. Something to do with them coming out of idolatry. I don't want to go into all that. So priests today are seen to be Catholic ministers, Church of England ministers, Orthodox priests, and certainly anybody with a white collar is a priest. Even we might say Pastor Dennis is a priest and Pastor Lorna is a priest. And Pastor Shirley is a priest, you know. But you are priests. You are priests. Kareem, you're a priest. You're all priests. And this is what I want to establish today, that God has made us priests. And we can start that by looking at what God intended right from the Old Testament. So can we turn to Exodus 19, verses 3-6? Exodus 19. 3-6. Now, these verses in Exodus 19, 3-6 has an exact parallel in the New Testament scripture of 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. We'll come to that in a minute, but let's look at the Old Testament, Exodus 19, 3-6. And 19:3 says, Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel. 19 verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Okay, so I always like to go verse by verse. So here we see they've just come out of slavery, for over 400 years of slavery, and the Lord is telling them that I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I brought you to have a relationship with me. Verse 5, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So in bearing them on eagle's wings, in bringing them out of bondage, he brought them for a reason. One, to have a special relationship, a unique relationship with him. And then secondly, he says that, but there is a condition to having this unique relationship, and that's in verse 5. If you will obey my voice and keep my commandment, then what? Just what does special relationship involve? You'll be a special treasure to me. This was to the children of Israel. It's one of my favorite topics to teach, Israel in the church. You'll be a special treasure to me above all people. And verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Israel was to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So we know the story of what happened. They did not obey his voice. Verse 5, they did not keep his covenant. So that special treasure, that kingdom of priests, that holy nation, that special, unique identity was transferred to the Gentiles. And that is us. Okay? So examining these verses, we see that God also wants to see us in a special relationship with us, because the Bible tells us in Colossians 1:13 that he has delivered us, he's carried us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. There is a moving from one place to another, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Everybody who's saved has been translated from one place and is now spiritually in another place. Amen? So that aspect of bearing us from bondage to freedom has happened. And then that aspect, he says to them, obey and keep my covenant. God is still asking us for obedience, isn't he? Jesus says it, my sheep, those who are with me, hear my voice and obey it. And I think you find that in John chapter 10, verse 27. And of course, we're not under the covenant that they were under, which is the Mosaic covenant. We're now under the blood of the new covenant, which is that of Christ Jesus. And the three special offers, special treasure, holy nation, kingdom of priests, that has been given to us. And we find that in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. When I was asked to talk about the kingdom, I thought, okay, kingdom, kingdom, kingdom of priests. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you, believers in Jesus Christ, you are a chosen generation. God chose you from the beginning of the foundation of the earth to be what? A royal priesthood. Wow. So Christ has called us to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. So you find that what the children of Israel lost, we have. Those three things, special treasure they were called, and here he says special people. So special is special. Special is unique, is distinctive. You know, God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, so he can make every one of you unique to him. You are special to him. You are the apple of his eye. You are the apple. I am the apple. And we have to receive this as truth, because the devil wants us to not think that we have a specific and unusual, the Bible calls it, peculiar identity. We do, as priests. God cares about you. He considers you. You matter. He loves you. And every aspect, your body, your health, your well-being, your emotions, everything is important because you're a special treasure. Amen. Amen. And you know, that is what we have lost. The identity of who we are. That we are, we put ourselves, okay, as Christians, we are a special, but individually, I am special. So I have to lift my head up and not be depressed because the devil is saying you're a failure, you're this, you're that, you will never do this, you will, no. I matter to God, and he wants me to succeed. We are a holy nation. That's what it says. It says holy nation. In Exodus, it said the same thing to Israel, a holy nation. So priests are special. They're not special because human beings confer special treatment on them. They're special because of what Christ has done. He's died for them, for each one of you. From that wonderful play we saw, I was so touched. I thought, oh God, it just brought back the reality of what Christ went to. So holiness is simply restated, sanctified. You're set apart. Amen? Amen. What is my identity as a priest? What does that mean? It means that I am set apart. Not because I'm in full-time ministry, which I am in, but because I'm a priest unto God, and therefore God has made me holy. He set me apart in my ambitions, in my affections, in my actions. Amen? Amen. This is it. And that's what we need to remember. I am a priest. I am set apart. I am different. Because what I set my ambitions on are holy, because God is in it. What my actions are doing are holy, because God is in it. When we remember every day, I'm a priest, I'm holy as unto the Lord, I'm sanctified, I'm set apart, I'm actually unique and special unto the Lord. Father, may this be evidence in my life today. Amen. Then we start to walk. And then we're a kingdom of priests. So finally, I land on what we are. We are a kingdom of priests. 1 Peter 2:9, verse 10. But you are a royal priesthood. In actual fact, Peter brings in a new dimension to the priesthood. He says that you are royal. Whoa! So we have something to do with royalty. And you know, there is a verse in, is it Revelation? The book of Revelation 1:6 tells us, he has made us kings and priests. I like that. Has made. So God has made you. It's not that one day you're going to be a king or a queen. When glory comes in Jesus and he sets up his kingdom, then he'll put a crown on me and then I'll rule. You rule today as priests. In fact, you cannot be a priest who is not ruling. You cannot be in the kingdom and not be a priest and therefore not rule. If you are not doing that, then it could be ignorance. It could be a lack of knowledge. But today we know. Amen? Today we know. We know. We know. When you go into a football club, every member of the club plays football. You can't find somebody in the team who is a hockey player. What are you doing here? Yes, it's true. And when you, I use Chelsea, not because I seriously support Chelsea. I did when I was a kid. I was a Chelsea, so I was, but then after a while, it just grieved my spirit when they were losing, and then I was just miserable, and I couldn't sleep, and for nights, I'll think, how could he play like, this is wrong. And then I just said, I can't continue to live like this. So I use Chelsea as a team now, and I say that Chelsea is a team. You won't find somebody in that team being from Arsenal. or Tottenham. I know they really don't like Tottenham. Okay, so that is how it is in the kingdom. Every member of Team Kingdom is a priest. Even the young child, Jesus welcomes them. Suffer them to come unto me. As a priest, they have that identity. They're special. They're set apart. Yes, set apart in holiness, but set apart because God has a purpose for each one of us. We're unique. Amen. So that is what we know. And then the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:5, you're living stones, you're built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. I mean, Peter was really into this thing. Yes, you all become the body of Christ, but you are a holy priesthood to offer. Why are we a priesthood? To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. That is our identity. And we have to appropriate it individually. I am a priest. And so in my situation, what does God want of me? What is my sacrifice? And sacrifice is sacrifice. It's not easy. Oops. What do I do? Cancel? Oh, dear me. That means I should be coming to an end. Okay. All right. So that means sacrifice. Now, we know from the Levitical priesthood that they sacrifice bulls and goats and things like that. Jesus Christ, when he came, he was known as a high priest. Can I have just 3 more minutes? Okay. Or probably 5. This is not what we'll allow in Bible school. I say, no, time's up. Anyway, so Jesus Christ came as a high priest. We understand that, don't we? But Jesus was not from the tribe of Levi. So how could he be a high priest? The high priests were only from the tribe of Levi, and for that matter, descendants of Aaron. So how could he be? And what the Bible tells us is that he was from the tribe of Judah. And the tribes of Judah were not priests. They were kings. Royal, so we can understand the royal priesthood, okay, King Judah. But how did he become a priest? Because however way he became a priest, we follow after him. And the Bible says that he became a priest under the order of Melchizedek, who was before the times of Levi and all these tribes. You know, I haven't got time to go into that. Amen. And so we as priests also come under not the order of Levi, but of Melchizedek. You find that a unique person like King David, who was also not from the tribe of Levi, also came under that anointing prophetically for us. He took that anointing as king. He was a king. He prophesied. Look at the Psalms. And he wore a linen ephod. And he sacrificed as priest. Under, not as Levi, but prophetically and a type for us today under the order of Melchizedek. So what sacrifices do we offer then? Jesus offered prayers and intercession. He offered his body. Romans 12:1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. Holy. And now we are in Romans. We're not in Peter, just in case you think Peter has something about this priest and has something about holiness. We've come now to the book of Romans. Therefore, brethren, there's a saying that when there is a therefore, you have to find out what it's there for. But trust me, there's so much before Romans, which will explain what it's there for, especially Romans 9, 10, and 11, which talks about Israel and the church. And therefore, he begs them after that explanation of the mystery of Israel and the church. Therefore, I beg you, by the mercies of God, because we all exist simply by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This involves our will must be sacrificed. Our bodies must be sacrificed. Our time, our talents, everything must be sacrificed. Hebrews 11, 15 to 16 is another place which talks of sacrifice. Therefore, by him, Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, by who? By Jesus. It's acceptable to God. What we are sacrificing as priests must be acceptable to God. And Hebrews 13 is telling us that by Christ, let us continually, every day, every hour, every waking moment of our lives, offer the sacrifice of praise. There's no time for depression. There's no time for worry when you continually offer a sacrifice of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Jesus. Great are you, Lord. I honor you, Lord. I bow before you. You are worthy. And giving thanks. Somebody gave that scripture today, 1 Thessalonians. It was you. And when I said, praise God, I'm on the right track. This is the will of God for you as priests. Give thanks. And then also it tells us in the next verse, but do not forget to do good, to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleasing. So we're getting to understand what this priesthood is about. Sacrifice of praise, thanks, always. Doing good, sharing. These are sacrifices. I want to end by saying that there is another thing that we are called to do, and that is to pray. And that comes up in this verse. The Bible tells us our high priest, Christ, prayed. The other day, I think last week, I was just going into how he went aside early in the morning, how he spent the whole night, sometimes whole nights in prayer, how after doing miracles and working, the Bible says, then he went to a quiet place by himself to pray. That is the life of a priest. And Colossians tell us, continue earnestly in prayer. So I want to end here, and I just want to encourage us as priests unto the Lord. When it comes to prayer, let us move beyond the Lord bless me, my partner, my whoever, and my children, and my sister. These times are calling for corporate prayer. It's calling us to extend our prayer capacity.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next.